This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Hello and welcome back to the Stadio Podcast. I'm Mr. Kwonga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I am good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Just been teaching / speaking in a school, which was...
Oh?
Yeah. Required every test of my emotional, spiritual faculties, but extremely rewarding. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, we hope everyone's staying safe, staying well, wherever you are. Quick shout out, Wright's House on Friday. Fadumo and Flo will be in the studio with Ian. Don't forget to check out the press from this week. And a little bit of a schedule change coming next week, but we'll fill you in on that on Monday and just some stuff around the Easter weekend coming up because it'll be men's international break. So we'll kind of take a few of those off as will Wright's House. But if you want to go sign up for our newsletter, stadio.football, scroll to the bottom, pop your email address in. Go and sign up. Go and check the Stadio Outros playlist on Spotify. Search for Stadio Outros on Spotify and we have a playlist of all the music we play out on each episode. The newest one is at the top and it's updated after every episode. Today, we're just going to keep it really brief today.
We are.
Nice and breezy and brief. We're just going to do a quick roundup and we'll talk about the FA Cup. We'll talk about some Serie A stuff. Maybe a little bit on the Real Sociedad Mallorca, Copa del Rey, semi-final, second leg. And we'll talk about Everton's points deduction being reduced. But before we do all that, got some big transfer news happen this week. Canadians, this one's for you. It looks like Alphonso Davies has agreed verbally to join Real Madrid either this at the end of this season or the end of next season when his contract expires at Bayern. Which for Real Madrid, I think is going to be a massive signing because it's such a piece that they need an upgrade on.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal.
And if you think about the possibility of Mbappe coming on that left-hand side as well, / centrally, whatever you want to call it. Imagine in a couple of years, man, they could have Alphonso Davies at left-back, potentially Mbappe in front, Haaland central.
Oh my goodness.
And Bellingham behind with Camavinga, Tchouaméni.
And Valverde.
And Fede, Fede's my one is that we said this the other day, right? Where he can play as that kind of advanced eight, right.
I love him.
Right hand side.
Him. I just love him.
If they get a massive upgrade at right back coming up, I actually think Carvajal's been playing quite well this season.
They won't though. They won't because it's Real Madrid. So they always have to have a chaotic right back.
Yeah, they have to have one position that they could upgrade on that they don't upgrade on just to make it interesting.
I think that thing with Carvajal and Real Madrid, they've got that. Look, first of all, he's won those five trophies and also he just has that combative energy and I think he'll be so hard to replace. But good right backs have been, they've not been in abundance for a while though, actually.
Do you know what would be hilarious? And I would never want him to go. But can you imagine if like Real Madrid went for Ben White?
I'd love that. I mean, he'd love it.
He'd be great there, man.
Of course, he'd be fantastic.
I was talking to someone about Ben White the other day, and it was actually after I listened to the Arsecast on Monday when they were talking about the... what game was it from the weekend that Arsenal played? I've completely forgotten.
Oh,
the Newcastle game.
4-1, yeah.
And talking about Ben White's shithousery. And... I just for no reason whatsoever, this wasn't part of any running order or anything we wanted to talk about. I just want to shout out Ben White.
To be fair,
I want to shout out Benjamin White because that's his name.
Yeah, Benjamin, yeah.
And I think he's great.
He's wonderful.
Back to Alphonso Davies. Great signing, I think. Big blow for Bayern losing him. I think it's a wages thing by the sound of it.
That's a scary, scary signing.
Yeah.
I mean, that just solves the problem in me. That just locks up the flank. Unreal.
Yeah.
Allows Vinicius to go party. Well.
Did you say Vinicius to go party?
Yeah, it does, because now you've got him there. You've got him on the left flank. You know, that's locked up.
Are you saying no Vinny, no party?
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Anyway, we'll touch more on that when it's confirmed and stuff, because it looks like it's only just been reported and verbally agreed. But yeah, potentially a big blow for Bayern.
Yeah, very much so.
All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll get on to some football.
Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing. A line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, VUORI.com/Simmons.
Right, man, do you want to begin with the FA Cup roundup? Let's do this quick.
I think we should. Yeah.
The quarterfinals are set. Mm. Anything of note you wanted to touch on from the FA Cup this week?
Obviously, we have to mention just Maidstone's run coming to an end against Coventry. I want to just mention at the top because outstanding run, and just I love how Ekolobi and the players. I'm still so happy, and they should be. They never got the big Premier League draw they wanted, which is a slight shame. Mm. But in terms of the progress they made, I mean, just absolutely delighted for them. So I know that although that's not technically a success story in terms of a win, it's a huge
success story. I think that's nice to shout out at the top. I mean? They lost to Coventry 5-0 on Monday, and Coventry will go through to play Wolves, who beat Brighton 1-0.
Yeah.
Last night, there was Liverpool's win over Southampton 3-0. I actually thought Southampton were really...
They were superb early on. Yeah.
I don't know if this... I was talking to Southampton Rob about this because I said, felt a little bit like a spiritual win for Southampton. You know, they were really good early on. They had a couple of chances. The ball in the net, just a touch offside. Mm. And they could have had a couple. They hit the post.
The first 10 minutes. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly, yeah. And then you had Liverpool's youngsters doing the stuff.
Weirdly felt like a win-win, actually. It's so strange to say that. It's weird, but it's a win-win.
Lewis Kumas scoring his first goal for Liverpool. Jadon Dan's getting a brace in front of the cop, which...
where are they getting these players? Where are Liverpool?
Honestly. Joe Gomez was in midfield, I think.
You know what Liverpool are going to do? They're going to do, like, you know the 1967 Celtic? When they win the Champions League with, like... they're all these, like... 30 kilometres of, like... 30 miles of Celtic.
Oh, my God.
Park.
Can you imagine? There were all these stats coming out afterwards being like, oh, when Liverpool won the Champions League, Lewis Kumas was 6. Do you know what I mean? Like, but not the one against, not Istanbul, like a few years ago against Spurs.
You know, not to make it about me, but when I was teaching yesterday and I was saying to the kids, I was like, hang on a minute. I said to them, I just suddenly realized, you know, this road around the corner. They were like, yeah. I said, I've just realized I was living on that road before any of you were born.
No way. Wow. I mean, how did that go down?
They howled. They were loving it.
Really?
Yeah, they were great. They were great. Just when we were setting up, there's like a few of them in front of the audience. And I was like, hang on a minute. You know that road? They're like, yeah. I said, I was living there like 10 years before any of you were born.
That's so funny.
Yeah, they were great. They were lovely, man. Anyway, sorry, but back to Liverpool. So yeah, just the idea of 2032 Champions League final, Liverpool winning with the first 11 from within like 30 miles of Anfield. That'd be hilarious. Wow. But they're great players. Can I just say, like, it's really lovely watching them being so excited. You see like Jayden Danz at the end, like, going, oh, wow, like, it's just amazing to be doing this. And like, I think Kumas got his first goal for Liverpool in front of the Kop. Mm. And it just gives you that sense of, I don't know, innocence, excitement, all of the rest of it back. So yeah, wonderful win for Liverpool. And Southampton outstanding. Some of their attacking with a bit more decisiveness from maybe Sekou Mara. They could take in the lead. Look, I still think Liverpool are going to come back because I think that they're finishing really, really strongly these days. If you look at their second half against Brentford, and obviously Southampton, Liverpool in the second half at Anfield are always going to be an overwhelming force. Yeah. So, you know, no shame in that. No shame in that defeat.
And they face Manchester United in the next round, who got a late win against Nottingham Forest.
So spicy.
Casemiro, I was going to say, literally opened up old wounds with his header because it looked like he didn't he have like a wasn't that a cut from the other day or something that he like it came it
he
started
aggravated
bleeding
again
after
really,
his header
really,
yeah. Basically it took 6 minutes to decide whether it was a goal or not, which was the magic of the cup. It was, do you know what, actually, oh no, I tell a lie, so I watched the last 10 minutes of this live and then watched the highlights back, but I tuned in literally not long before the goal. And bear in mind, I'd only been watching this game about 4 or 5 minutes at this point. 3 minutes into the VAR thing, I was just a bit like, I've been watching this game for 6-7 minutes and I'm bored. I'm bored. This is so boring. This is so like, it took so long to figure out if that was a goal or not. I think ahead of the derby on Sunday, I don't know what you think about this, but I imagine that we will go quite long on Manchester United on Monday.
Yeah.
But, Manchester United just needed to get through this game. It sounds so cliche, but I think that just getting through the next stage of like next round of the cup. But I think if Manchester United had lost this or gone out of the cup, I think off the back of the Fulham game and ahead of the derby,
totally,
it just would have been such a different atmosphere.
The derby really feels like a kind of state of the nation event in terms of like a state of where the clubs are at. Just because you see, I think we've already seen some effects of the new ownership, not necessarily on the pitch, but just in terms of the club just feels like there's a seriousness that wasn't there. I feel like there's a scrutiny and I feel like, you know, Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos are just watching Ten Hag and giving him a chance to play himself or coach himself in or out of a job. It really feels that there is a certain scrutiny there actually, which I like. Well, actually, I like that.
You know, ending it on a positive for Manchester United. That's six games away unbeaten now in a row. Again,
they've always had this weirdly good away. Even under Moyes. Moyes had this weirdly good away record. It was so strange.
Sorry, but do you know when we said like just a weird team and fundamentally on for a weird season in the sense that like they've put together, do you remember when they were like the most informed team in the Premier League?
Yeah.
Everyone was just like, what? But they've been like, everyone's moaning. And then they kind of had a bit of a wobble, but then they were on good form again while not seemingly playing well. But I think you're right with the Ineos thing about how, because that's obviously now gone through and it's official, but there seems to be more accountability creeping in, or a sense of accountability. So actually, whereas before it was very easy just to kind of throw your hands up after Manchester United defeats and be like, well, nothing's going to change. This is, but you know, what's the point? Now it kind of feels a little bit more like there's more at stake. Yeah. The first time in a while, actually. And I think that ultimately, that's going to take time, but ultimately that is a very good thing for Manchester United.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, look, put it this way, I feel accountable. I'm not even involved in the club, so, you know, can't imagine how they feel. I wake
Chelsea
up in the morning
past
thinking, have I been rigorous? Yeah, exactly.
Is your performance high, Musa? Are you executing high performance? High performance mindset. Chelsea getting a late winner against Leeds. A great goal from Conor Gallagher, actually.
Really good game. And happy for him, given his Carabao Cup final where he just could have sealed it for Chelsea. Yeah. So I'm happy that he got that and he came through.
Can I say something that might equally please or aggravate Chelsea fans.
You've started, so you'll finish. Yeah.
Gallagher's goal reminded me a little bit of Drogba.
Ooh. Okay, go on. Enlarge, expand.
Well, just late in the game, touch, turn, finish.
Yes.
Very, like, just... It just kind of reminded me a little bit of... A little bit of Drogba. And he's not... Just in case anyone wants to email us.
Do you know, I was about this.
For 1 second comparing them, but I'm just saying it just, you know, could have been Drogba.
Do you know, I think about this. It's funny you mentioned the Drogba thing, the comparison. I was thinking back to the chance he got at the Carabao Cup final and how he had just a split second more time for this than that. Because in that final, he just took that touch and he couldn't quite get the space off for the second, for the shot properly to get it clear of Kelleher. This, he takes like a gorgeous second touch actually. The first
that's what, that, that was the touch that, that reminded me of Drogba, yeah.
That is the one when he shifts it. I was just like, that is clockwork, man. I love that. Yeah, yeah.
Because Drogba, Drogba was always amazing at just in those shifting little pockets.
Shifting the ball at the speed, yeah.
And that kind of like, there's the most elite strikers, and obviously Gallagher isn't a striker and stuff, but this is what I think was quite impressive. And this is a compliment to Conor Gallagher in the sense that, like, you know, he's not a striker, but there was some real striker instincts there with the tight space, crunch time, you know. Mm. If you want to go NBA clutch.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and it's the initial touch to receive, and it's the second touch that sets it up for that kind of destructive finish.
Yes,
and Drogba used to do this over and over and over again, and you couldn't, like, at his peak, you just couldn't touch him.
There's just that touch that just punch it. There's also actually, fun enough, another person that did that really well was Bergkamp. Bergkamp did that thing where he would turn and he just set, there was a goal against, I think it was Sunderland. I was rewatching it recently where Bergkamp just gets it out of his foot and then just like puts it on. It's like watching a goal for like just teeing up properly. It's properly teeing up, you know?
Yeah. Or like, you know, in volleyball when someone does the set.
Yes, the set. There's a whole category. Like, oh my God, I love that. There's like a whole subcategory of footballers who are amazing at the set. Mm. Love that. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Can I just say, while we're on this game, shout out to Chelsea Leeds, because this is a historic, this is a time with a lot of history in the FA Cup. But I want to have a quick shout for Matteo Joseph, who got two wonderful goals. Two really nice finishes for Leeds. Obviously, in a losing cause, but got to mention that it was an outstanding performance from him.
I think he played really well up front.
Yeah, really, really good. Great movement. His header, the second, was just like, oh. Yeah. You talk about Drogba-esque. That absolutely was one of them. Yeah, yeah.
And also shout out Nicholas Jackson and Mikhailo Mudryk. Two good goals by those two.
Combining well, yeah.
You know, obviously Jackson has been on the score sheet a lot more than Mudryk, but quite happy for Mudryk just to kind of, you know, try and get those little moments where he can, bit of confidence.
They say in basketball, getting your reps, isn't it? Get your reps, get regular games. Can I say about Mudryk and Jackson as well? Congratulations on their goals, but also really enjoy some of their build-up play. That was encouraging. Yeah. Watching Jackson combining.
It was a good game, this, actually. Yeah, it was. Just all around, I thought. Yeah. Quick shout out for Leicester, who got past Bournemouth 1-0.
Bournemouth
had a terrible
run
at the moment. Oh, great goal, though. Amazing goal.
Listen, serious. Strictly business.
Newcastle getting past Blackburn on penalties, 1-1 in normal time and after extra time.
It was very good for them, this win, because, you know, obviously... the league, they're not really punching forward as much as they did last year, and feels like the cup is, well, actually for a lot of these teams in the quarterfinals, really needing something to show for their season, I would say. So absolutely, yeah, yeah.
We've managed to get this long without talking about Erling Haaland scoring five goals.
Haaland's Hall. Oh my goodness.
Kevin De Bruyne with four assists.
This is the first four assists for Haaland's first four goals.
That's so good.
I mean,
I have to admit, I think they were helped a little bit by some questionable Tim Krul goalkeeping.
But also the Ange Postecoglou approach to, we'll give it a go, whatever, from the very first minute. Like Luton, no shade, Luton, like, obviously, Luton actually very much like Bielsa's Leeds in the sense that this will happen every now and again. And I'm sure that Rob Edwards has said to them, do you know what? We're going to get absolutely tanked in certain matches. You know, the whole thing, the whole model of like conceding lots of shots. This will happen, because what Rob Edwards has obviously clocked is that this thing you always hear, teams that come up in the Premier League, the ones that stay up are the ones that tend to play their football because you get more space. So Edwards has embraced that. Of course, every now and again, you're going to run into a severely annoyed Man City who are irritated by their failure to really punch through teams in recent games, and like someone's going to catch one. Someone's going to catch a body like that, and I think that's what happened with Haaland.
13 big chances in this game, though. 7 13. For Manchester City and 6 for Luton. So just a fun game for a neutral. The only thing that was missing was maybe a couple of red cards.
Yeah, or maybe a 6th goal for Haaland, because he did get those first 5 very quickly.
Yeah,
he got them in the first hour. So I think there was a lot of thinking about, well, will he get the 6th? And then he got another sort of 15 minutes before Pep was like, okay, that's enough. That's enough.
After this round of FA Cup games, how are you feeling ahead of the derby?
Actually quite good, because I think...
Are you?
Yeah, because United have been battle-tested a bit. They will raise it for the derby. They've done that, actually. If you look at general performances, trends, they have kind of raised it for that particular match. They haven't been so good against Liverpool, weirdly. If they can raise it for the derby against City but not against Liverpool, you know, let me work that out. But actually feeling quite... What's that word you always use? Quite zen about it, actually. I'm quite...
Good place to be.
Encouraged. Yeah, yeah. Feeling good, feeling great.
Feeling good, feeling great.
Listen.
Do you know who are feeling good, feeling great?
Who's that?
Inter.
Oh my goodness, Inter, can I say...
Let's go to Serie A.
Inter, can I just say, look, they were delightful that first half. Like, watching them...
Inter beating Atalanta 4-0, by the way.
Inter 4, Atalanta 0. This team, I just love this team because every player just fits so well within it.
Mm.
Everyone has a role they understand. Damian, obviously we had Damian, DeMarco as the wing backs pushing up. Pavard looks so comfortable. Lautaro was brilliant up front. It's just it all works. And Atalanta had the ball in early. They had a really good chance early through Pasalic. Pasalic had a good bit sort of early flurry of chances, but thereafter Inter just the transitions, the intensity. Even their goal.
Well, Atalanta had the goal in the they had the ball in the net after 10 minutes.
They
from,
did, yeah.
De Ketelaere.
Yeah.
And it was ruled out for handball on VAR. And
On Miranchuk, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, but there's a weird thing. So I actually think this is quite harsh, because it looks like on the replay that Bastoni kind of studs the ball against Miranchuk's arm. And there's not really anything I think Miranchuk can do about it.
I get it, but then also I get when I saw
it. Is this another one of those like?
Yes.
The law is just bad.
Yes,
but because the application of the law is
when you
fine.
See the arm raised,
the arm is like, out.
Yeah. You're like, when you see that, you're like, oh, it's clear why that's being disallowed.
Yeah.
A bad law, but it's a good application of a bad law.
Good application of a bad law.
Yeah.
Inter after that were incredible, and they had a Lautaro Martinez missed penalty in that as well.
Yes, but the guy got a bang on the stroke of half time. He just stepped off. Pavard stepped up, squared it, and he just spun his man and just ripped it in the corner. It was done after that. 2-0, I was like, nah, this is stick a fork in it. DeMarco followed up really well for the third after the penalty was parried clear. After Lautaro's penalty was parried clear, and then Fratesi got the fourth. Inter supreme. Really, really they are.
They're 12 points clear at the top of the league now, and that's it, isn't it?
It's like, I would be interested to know how many job offers Simone Inzaghi has had from the Premier League. I'd be really interested to wonder who's offered him jobs. Actually, it's not just the Premier League, but just in other countries. And I'm not saying he should go. I don't think he should. I think that he and Inter are an incredible match. I just think that he's off that level where tactically he's outstanding.
I'm really pleased for him, because there was a moment where his rep took a real dip.
There was.
And there was a lot of talk about him going, and or whether he would even last however long. They were talking about a matter of games, really. And quite reminiscent of, do you remember when Milan were getting him Rangnick and then went back on it and gave Pioli a new contract? It's quite similar to that, really, in a sense that he went through a tricky time, has rebuilt that side again, evolved that side. And I think we've said this before, like that this side feels like they can hurt you in more ways than that title winning side did under Conte.
Yeah.
Which I think is a massive testament to Inzaghi, because they went through some real financial trouble. They got Lukaku back, it didn't work out. They've had to reconfigure that attack. Marcus Thuram has been amazing.
So good.
Lautaro Martinez has restored some form. been through a bit of a wobbly patch as well. And yeah, they just look commanding. Like routine, like everything feels a bit, feels very routine at the moment for Inter, yeah. Which I think is a good place to be when you're 12 points clear.
I just want to see, we just talked a bit about, what's the word, Alphonso Davies going to Real Madrid in terms of that rebuild. I'm fascinated to see how they rebuild at Inter. They've got a couple of quite old players in that first 11, and specifically Henrik Mkhitaryan. That is an absolutely plumb spot for a young midfielder to come and replace him at some point in the next couple of years, because not that he's just as old as 35 now. I think, you know, working under Simone Inzaghi, that is an incredible job opportunity for a young midfielder in Europe. So yeah, let's see.
But yeah, great win for Inter. Atalanta, a couple of poor results after that amazing run that they were on, which has kind of checked their momentum a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they drew with Milan at San Siro on the weekend. They got, you know, hammered here. That goal stands at the beginning. Obviously, it could be a very different game, but I think Inter were so commanding overall that they still probably would have come through.
I think so. However, the momentum was too much. Yeah.
Atalanta are still only 2 points off the Champions League spots now.
Mm.
2 points behind Bologna, who are obviously having an unbelievable season, as we mentioned before. Another game that we want to touch on, which literally featured, I think this game was script written by Moussa Gwanga. Sassuolo won at Napoli 6. Sassuolo taking the lead with a goal before the thrashing.
This literally, can I say, Sassuolo-Napoli never fails. Like, it never fails to be engaging, intriguing, exciting. And the goal before the thrashing was maybe the goal of the match. Like, if you rewatch this, the Rakitić goal was absolute. It was like Toni Kroos levels of whip and bend. It's funny because the first time you see, when you see it that like on the angle, just on the side, you're like, oh, that hasn't moved that much. And you see it again, like, oh my God.
So good.
Yeah, unreal. So Rakitić taking the lead for Sassuolo, but then Napoli come back with a vengeance. Osimhen.
Wow.
With a rapid hat trick, and Kvaratskhelia with two more. It was like Osimhen's, sort of old school. Sorry, old school Napoli, yeah.
Yeah, Osimhen's second ever Serie A hat trick.
And the previous one against...
Was against Sass?
I think it was.
Was it the 4-0 a few years ago?
We start calling it a Sass trick. Yeah, that's the only hat trick he seems to score in Serie A. Yeah.
It was the 4-0. It was the 4-0 from last season.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, Kvaratskhelia was great as well. And yes, like you say, remnant, like they looking like first time for a... Well, not first time, because there have been patches, but this felt very much like that Napoli team.
Yeah, absolutely. This felt like the last season Napoli, for sure.
Yeah. Sass are in trouble, though. They're level on points with Hellas Verona. Goal difference took a hell of a battering. They're on minus 22 goal difference. They're in 18th at the moment. So
look at the foot mob here. They conceded 27 shots.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, Salernitana are bottom of Serie A. They're kind of pretty much down. They're on 13 points. Then you've got Cagliari, Sass, Hellas Verona on 20 points, Frosinone, Udinese on 23 points, Lecce on 24, Empoli on 25, and then there's a gap to Genoa. So to be honest, any of that from Empoli down in 13th, 13th to 19th is too close to call, I think, for who will be the other two spots to get relegated from Serie A. And actually,
Udinese have played some good football, so to see them down in the mix is a bit of a shame.
I mean, also seeing Sass down there, I mean, I know that they've probably overperformed for a good few years, and we've seen this with many teams who tend to overperform their resources, that eventually it kind of catches up with them. Yeah, we've seen it with Brentford this season, and maybe we'll touch on that in a bit when we talk about Everton, because one of the things is how many teams are now in trouble because of the Everton thing. But Sass being down there is a shame, because you always kind of used to seeing them popping up a little bit further up the table, or kind of doing some upsets. And
yeah, or just playing some great football, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, even if this is the great thing about Serie A this season, you look at the Champions League races as well. You've got Bologna, Atalanta, Roma within 4 points of each other. Fiorentina are only 3 points behind Roma. So the European races, maybe outside that top three.
Yeah.
I mean, Milan are only 5 points clear of Bologna, though. So it's all to...
A lot is to play for, man. Yeah.
So yeah, some good football this week. Also, just one more thing I want to touch on, which was in the Women's Gold Cup this week.
Amazing.
Absolutely wild. So FOTMOB posted a great tweet about this, saying, what a great sentence. Great administrative drama at the Women's Gold Cup. Puerto Rico and Costa Rica were tied as best place third ranked teams in the group stage, level on points, goal difference, goals scored, even yellow cards. So CONCACAF were forced to draw lots and Costa Rica progressed. So hard luck, Puerto Rico. They lost it on a technicality. Oh, actually, one more game to talk about is Real Sociedad Mallorca.
Oh, yes. Second, this was great.
Semi-final second leg. Mallorca going through on penalties. However, it was it 1-1 in normal time? Breas Mendes had a chance, well, had a penalty saved by Real Sociedad.
Yeah.
For Real Sociedad, sorry, by Dominic Greif. And it went to penalties. Oyarzabal was the only person not to score in the shootout, and that was his first the first penalty for Real Sociedad. So Mallorca are through.
I love that.
And they will face the winners of Athletic Club and Atletico Madrid, who are in the... They're playing tonight in the semi-final second leg at San Mamés. Athletic Club are 1-0 ahead so far on aggregate. And that will be, I imagine, quite ferocious.
There was a lovely moment when Mallorca went to extra time after goal line clearance and where they celebrated like they'd won the game already. Or it was either extra time or penalties. And I remember thinking, this is awesome because you could see the momentum shifting. And also Mallorca were just good value for that. And I didn't feel too bad because Real Sociedad have had their Copa del Rey moment in recent years. So it's nice for like someone to switch it up. While we're still on cups, by the way, just I didn't give enough credit to Coventry City for getting to the quarters. And I just want to just like pin that and say, actually, like, absolutely amazing achievement. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously, like, sometimes the Maidstone thing is such an amazing story, but for Coventry to be there at the quarterfinal stage, I think in a tie where they could match up quite well with Wolves, that's exciting for them. But to be one game away from a semi-final, and you look at it and think, we fancy this. Oh, and by the way, of course, like Wolves beating Brighton 1-0, and
we did, mention that.
Wolves beating Brighton 1-0. I think we mentioned it briefly, but I just think Wolves really, really good value, but also Brighton just some missed chances. And I think, funnily enough, given Brighton's progress, it's a sign of their progress that that's actually a slight disappointment.
Yeah.
That's a disappointment for them, actually, I would say.
Yeah. You know. One final thing, just to shout out, but we're going to leave it for Flo and the gang to cover on Counterpress, but the Women's Nations League, wrapped up. Spain beating France 2-0 to win the Nations League. And Germany beating the Netherlands 2-0 to claim the bronze.
I know the Nations League has been a problem in terms of fixtures, but I love the way it's given those friendlies meaning. You know, it's often, we've said this before, like, you know, we criticise UEFA for a lot of things, and I think rightly so most of the time, but the Nations League has been a real addition. I really like it.
Yeah, that's good. Could also do without, you know, so many competitive fixtures, I suppose, but it's fine.
Yeah. I would like fewer fixtures, but I would like the Nations League, but fewer fixtures, if that makes sense. Anyway, while we're doing international hot takes, Pep Guardiola for England. Yeah, carry on.
What?
Just to think about it. Yeah, because I was watching John Stones and I was like, wow, I wish John Stones could play like this for England in this position. I was like, just get Pep to do it.
Oh my God, I love that.
Do you know what I mean? When you see like a player like that who's like arguably England's best outfield player and you think, wow, imagine if that person could just play that position with no filter, no change to the role. And then, oh, well, maybe just ask Pep about it. Pep, actually, it's just a thought for like a few years' time.
Okay, well, yeah. Let's save that. All right, let's take a break. We need to talk about
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, man. So since we last spoke, Everton have climbed miraculously up to 15th in the Premier League without playing a game.
Thanks to some administrative drama.
Oh.
There it is.
That's what everyone wants. This is what, do you know what? This is what football should be about. Administration.
Yeah.
Not going into administration, administrative stuff. Everyone loves, you know, just going through documents and finding rulings and, you know, it's the... a beautiful game, Musa. That's what it is. It's a beautiful game. You may have heard by now, Everton's points deduction has been reduced from 10 to 6.
Mm.
It was a partial success of the appeal process. A lot of the reason why you may have read about this now is that they the appeal was successful based on some of the legal wording that the Premier League used in suggesting that Everton were uncooperative in their...
Yeah, acting in bad faith. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So they were like, actually, do you know what? You know what? Like, yeah, actually, maybe that was a little bit harsh and we'll take a few points off you. Bear in mind that it was 9 points is the punishment for going into administration. Based on no real kind of understanding on what should or shouldn't be given in this kind of situation, 6 points feels fair if they've broken the rules. Maybe a little less would have even felt fair, maybe 4.
Right, yeah.
However, it may get worse because Everton are facing...
A
second one of these from this season, as are Nottingham Forest. And the Premier League have set a deadline, I think mid-April, about this with a backup deadline after the season finishes, which creates some complications for the Premier League this season because, well, for obvious reasons, the league is a catfish. We don't know who's actually going to finish where, and it may not be decided until after the season's done.
It's so strange, isn't it? What strange conditions in which to coach a team and to play for a team and to support a team, just having no idea about where you are.
I mean, so I want to ask you, what's your initial thoughts on them having
I'm really happy for Everton. Reduced. I'm really happy for them because
feels
this
a little
is,
bit more just, right?
I'm really happy for them because that 10-point deduction, the very moment that comes in, at that point, you might be thinking, oh my God, like, you know, we're doomed and it's such a huge amount. Also, the double figures as well, the point deduction, there's something psychological about that. I'm really happy for them, not only for the reduction in the points deduction, but also just the point they made about, so they made an appeal on 9 grounds, 2 of which were upheld. And the key one was that Everton acted in bad faith and that got overturned. Mm-hmm. So they acted in good faith, they cooperated. And that was really important for Everton, I think, because with everything they've gone through, integrity was really important. Mm-hmm. You know, it was almost like we've lost so much has gone wrong, but at least give us this. So I was really happy for them to the extent that they could clear their name on that front.
Mm-hmm.
And also just administratively, like, I think some of the calculations about how much they'd overspent, it was actually much less than they'd been accused of initially. So I was happy then because it felt like this was, I don't know, I looked and thought, this is my gut reaction, best possible scenario at this stage, I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why teams around them are going to be frustrated, but I think also the frustration shouldn't go towards Everton. I think the Premier League have got themselves in a real mess about this.
Yeah.
And they need to, I mean... the more and more of this stuff that's going to happen, which it seems like there's a lot more of this happening at the moment. Mm. A lot of clubs feel like they're under investigation or potentially awaiting the outcome of hearings about potential sustainability rules and whatever the actual technical term is for it now. But it does provide difficulty. And maybe we're echoing what we said after the initial ruling on this, in the sense that a league that proclaims to be the greatest league in the world, the more you hear about finances, sustainability, breaching financial sustainability rules, things like the Manchester City stuff hanging over it, which, just to clarify, the reason it is taking so long, as we all know, is because obviously there is a lot more to go to, and I imagine Manchester City have very much lawyered up.
Mm.
These things take time, but the actual sporting integrity of the competition, even if it maybe doesn't take a hit in the actual sporting integrity,
yeah,
I think it takes a hit in the reputational integrity.
Okay.
Because the more and more the discussion there are about points deductions based on financial reasons, or, you know, things like Manchester City, you know, the ownership models that the Premier League have, it might start to grate on people eventually, because I don't want to say like the kind of like, you know, take administrative drama out of football, Musa. But
yes, yes.
There does come a certain point where you're actually like, I kind of just want this to be a sport again, really.
Can I say as well, look, like, we have an incredible title race in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Any one of those three teams can win it. This is the beauty of it. You look at like City, who don't have the same goal differences as Liverpool or Arsenal. You know, they're slightly behind in that respect, but they're surging in their own way. Both Liverpool and Arsenal have got depth and variety in their attack. Like, there's so much opportunity for both those teams to beat City to that four in the row. But really, I just feel like it is tainted. Like, the City title challenge is tainted by this, because it is the elephant. I just want this race to be, like, call me like nostalgic, right? But you know that, like, the 99 treble that United had, and you had like four or five of those teams, they were all brilliant. And there was like, no, yeah, from week to week, you weren't thinking about whether someone was going to get hauled up for points or whatever. It was just four or five brilliant teams going at it. And you were like, this is it. This is what I think this has done. The Premier League's like sort of stop-start approach to regulation, it's robbed it of that spontaneity and that like unfettered joy and that excitement of, you know.
So what you're saying in short is that the game's gone. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, that this is worse. If the game had gone, it'd be easier. But the game is going and it's come back again. Oh, the game's gone. The game's called. It's left its keys, so it's come back for them. The game's like gone and it's come back again.
Just leave, man. It becomes a little bit draining, because it's just like, yeah, this is really, you know, this is really what the game's about, you know? Just talking about profit and sustainability rules.
Yeah.
I want Craig Burley to jump on and be like, profit and sustainability? Nerd nonsense. I want Craig Burley to give the financial rulings the same treatment that he gave Gab Marcotti talking about XG. You know what I mean? Nerd, yes, nonsense. Numbers, figures, profit and loss. Fucking nerd nonsense, man. Nerd nonsense. Like, fuck, sign me off. Like, get me out of here. Like, I'm going to go the Jerry Seinfeld, I'm out gif. I'm out. Like, get me out of here.
And on a positive note, to round that off on a positive note, this is why I was just so happy for the Bundesliga protest succeeding.
Me too.
Because they're avoiding this future. They're avoiding this reality.
Yeah, and that is a club that is a league that still, you know, we've had numerous debates with people, friends, whatever, about, like, you know, buy and win it every year. But it's like, yeah.
Still better than the alternative. Great. Still better than the alternative. It is. Great. It's still better than the alternative.
Whatever happens in the future with any club, actually.
Mm.
You're not. I struggle to imagine a point that the Premier League manages to rein this in enough to get it sensible.
Yes, I agree.
Because they've allowed so many teams to, or they've allowed people to kind of get away with certain things for so long that it's going to be really, really hard to rein that in. I know totally we've kind of gone off Everton and turned that into a bit of a general discussion there.
No, but I think it is a general one. I think it's fair. And also, like, I think Everton, there was a sense that, you know, Everton, they're a huge club, don't get me wrong, but in terms, I think there was a sense they were kind of an easier target. And that's where they got stung so much. And I like this result, because then I think other teams in the league, they might be annoyed. The teams around them, of course, won't be delighted by this. But I think overall, teams can be like, actually, good for you for pushing back.
Yeah.
You know, good for you for actually pushing back and getting a fairer shake. And we'll see where it plays out from here.
I agree. Anything else you want to touch on today? Or
No, actually. No. To say very, very broadly, I do like the FA Cup quarterfinal draw. So just very quickly, it's Wolves, Coventry, United, Liverpool, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Leicester City, and Man City against Newcastle United. So that's a good, I like that draw a lot, actually. It's got a bit of everything.
Anything you're looking forward to this weekend? Obviously the Manchester Derby.
Sorry. bit of cover.
Could have killed him.
No, just more of the same. Look, it's been a lovely week. It's been a very rewarding week. So I was looking forward to a gentle weekend. Might see an exhibition or something. Not just the football, but another art exhibition. Otherwise, yeah, good. I'm good.
I'm looking forward to Napoli Juve. There's some good fixtures around. Athletic Club against Barcelona on Sunday night at San Mamés.
Some great history fixtures with history, right? Yeah.
Yep. Atleti Betis as well.
Ooh, spicy. Spicy.
And Sevilla Real Sociedad. La Liga looks good this weekend. Some good fixtures.
That is the food league.
Is it?
Dude.
I always thought it was... Yeah.
Atleti Betis. I mean, goodness. Yeah.
Anything
bring a plate,
else?
Bring a plate, everyone. Weekend. Bring a plate.
Bring a plate, everyone. There's actually a massive game. There's a massive game in the best league in the world this week.
Oh.
If you are stuck for things to watch and you manage to get it, Hansa Rostock against Kaiserslautern on Saturday.
Oh, that's huge.
Gigantic.
Dude, that's enormous.
Game down the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
St. Pauli go to Schalke as well this weekend. Schalke down the bottom as well.
Could just watch football all weekend, actually.
There's yeah, that you much could do, but I won't. Yeah. Going to go outside. Don't even like football anymore. Honestly,
there he is.
I'm like Benjamin Mightman. No, it's just a job. Just a job.
Any shout outs from you? Any grumble outs?
Grumble outs, me.
Yeah.
Maybe we should bring a new segment into this at the end of each show, whether we have
final grumble, final thoughts,
a little rhyme rant.
No one believe it. You're like this grumpy old man, but like secretly enjoys visitors. No one's going to believe it when you do a grumpy thing. No one's going to believe it.
No, leave me alone.
See, even that is implausible. It's implausible.
No. Strict. Like, I'm one of those people where the doorbell rings, I'll just sit there in the hallway and let them go away. Leave me alone.
No, anyway. But anyway. Nothing further from me. Nothing further from me.
All right, everyone. Don't forget to check Counterpress and Righty's House this week. Don't forget to check the Stadio Outdoors players on Spotify. Speaking of which, we're playing out on a group that we've played out before, the Mystic Tide. And we thought that, you know, maybe some fans are feeling frustrated this week. So we're going to play out a tune called Frustration. anything you'd like to add, Musa Okwanga?
Nothing further. I'm just going to glide out on a Mystic Tide towards my weekend.
And I imagined that come Sunday evening after the Manchester Derby, you may be experiencing a sense of frustration.
There he is.
All right, everyone. Stay safe, stay well, have a lovely weekend, and we will be back with you on Monday.
See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.